There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider on Blake Street Banter. I am your host and Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, joining me as he does each and every Tuesday, unless he's got to be in Las Vegas or something. It's Noah Spire. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I was in Vegas last week, but we are happy to be back. We are defeated and tired, but ready to talk Rockies.
How much money did you lose? Three digits, four digits?
What I budgeted for in the three-digit range, so.
Okay. All right. Not too bad.
I had a budget.
Did. It looks like you got a little tan, too, as well. Is that from Vegas, or is that just the one sunny day Indiana gets in March?
Yeah, it had to be from Vegas. We walked everywhere, my group of myself and six of my friends. I looked at my phone, and we were averaging 10 miles per day walking. So just naturally, it occurred.
Man, and you guys walked in from Henderson each and every day too. So, I mean, next time you got to get something actually on the strip or something.
Yeah, well, I don't even know why we walked that long, but we saw everything that there was to see.
There you go. Yeah, not a lot. And when you're walking, you're going to see all of it. Well, what you might not have totally seen in the last week is the topic for today. The opening day roster is set. We don't know the lineup exactly. And we're going to do a season preview and season predictions for the Rockies in 2025. I did a couple shows on Nolan Jones and Zach Veen, that whole situation over the weekend. Happy to report that Rockies fans are alive and well. And boy, they really showed out for that video, for that live podcast on Saturday. What is your overall take on Nolan Jones getting traded and then his spot not ultimately going to Zach Veen?
I was really disappointed as soon as I saw the trade happen. That was 24 hours before we found out Zach Veen did not make the opening day roster, and that compounded the pain. I thought Nolan Jones, given the 2023 season he had where he went 20-20, Chris Bryant got him a Rolex for doing 20-20, I thought he earned a longer leash than what he must have shrunk it down to with his – it was pretty bad 2024 season, but he kept getting hurt. He was very open about having the mental health challenges of not only struggling – he is his own biggest hater. He's so hard on himself. But he also became a father for the first time late in the season, which understandably these players are more than just players. They're people. That was a hard season. Then the offseason comes and MLB Network features him as someone that could win a potential comeback player of the year award. Nolan Jones, he's so toolsy. The Rockies need guys like this. And then the blindsiding move where he gets traded to Cleveland, I kind of sounded off in our group chat because I couldn't believe it. And it had been since the last Nolan got traded that I couldn't believe a trade. And for Zach Veen to not make the opening day roster kind of just piled on. I know the numbers last year in the minor leagues, he was hitting in the 220s or close to it. Nothing too flashy, but this spring he's been exceptionally flashy. So I was a big proponent of him making the opening day roster. We said, well, look, this Nolan trade sucks, but the silver lining is Zach Veen train is, you know, going straight ahead. Well, it's not. And he's going to have to leave the station in AAA. So overall, I was just really disappointed. What about yourself?
Yeah, the train didn't leave the station, but the Greyhound bus down I-25 to Albuquerque did, unfortunately. Look, you started off by, I think you used the word patient, right? Like you would have thought that the Rockies could have maybe been a little bit more patient or, again, giving him a little bit more of a rope. And I think that's one of the biggest things that has come out of this is that the Rockies don't have a lot of patience. They are impatient isn't the right word because that means quick, right? That means getting to this thing. But patient means just waiting it out. And sometimes you have to be patient with your prospects and let them play and figure out what they are. I mean, it took Michael Tolia 3 years to finally get that opportunity, and you saw him shine. Zach Veen still waiting for that first opportunity. So patience is definitely not a word that is common to those that wear the purple pinstripe. So still disappointing and still reflecting on some things in the wake of this trade that, you know, no matter where you go, whether it's foul territory, ESPN, The Athletic, talking about this trade, no one can really seem to make sense of why you would do this. I think the sense, quote unquote, is, well, you had too many outfielders, at least you felt that way, and you didn't have a utility infielder. That being said, when you have a guy that had numbers, the rate stats that Nolan Jones had in 2023 were better, folks. I know it was about 40 plus games, 50 games less than Corbin Carroll, but Nolan Jones had a better batting average than Corbin Carroll. He had better on-base percentage. He had better slugging percentage than the unanimous rookie of the year in 2023, Corbin Carroll. And yet, less than 2 years later, you're jettisoning him for a utility player. That does not seem patient at all. Christopher, you're alive. That's awesome. That's big news. We are glad to see you in the chat. If you've got a question or a comment, go ahead and throw it in there, because we're gonna talk about the opening day roster pretty much set. Any surprises for you before I kind of run down the entire list? Was there a surprise for anyone that you're like, oh, you know what? I wasn't really sure that he was going to make the team, or I'm shocked that this person made the team.
Honestly, not too surprising. I mean, we could harp on the decision to Martini in and being out, but overall, outside of that, pretty as expected to begin the season with Austin Gomber going on the IL. That was a big one.
Yeah. Yeah, really, Martini, Bouchard, and Hilliard, all three of those spots, I think a lot of people outside the organization, a lot of people, I would imagine, still even inside the organization, looking at the spring that Zach Veen had, would say, okay, well, Veen is definitely one of the three outfielders we're going to have, and yet he's the fourth on the outside looking in. So
after winning spring training MVP.
Yeah, very strange to say the least. Rocky's going with the two catchers and Jacob Stallings and Hunter Goodman at first base, Michael Tolia, the second base slash utility infielder and outfielder, Kyle Farmer, Tyler Freeman, third base, Ryan McMahon, shortstop, Ezekiel Tovar, in the outfield, five deep, Bretton Doyle, Jordan Beck, and then the trio of Martini, Bouchard, Hilliard, Chris Bryant as your DH. The 13 pitchers that they are allowed to carry, the maximum 13 on the 26-man roster, are going to be the four starters, Kyle Freeland, Ryan Feltner, Herman Marquez, Antonio Senzatella. Bradley Blaylock will serve as a long reliever for right now. So while he's been a starting pitcher, he has not been utilized as one. So I put him in the long reliever category for at least this opening series. The other relievers are Seth Halverson, Tyler Kinley, Victor Vodnik, the two lefties, Scott Alexander, Luis Peralta, Angel Chivig, and Jake Bird. As you mentioned, Gomber, sore shoulder, will start the year on the IL, probably going to make his first start as soon as he comes off on April 8th. Tyra Estrada, broken wrist, going to be out for a while. I imagine it should be at least 2 months, my non-doctor opinion. And then Jeff Criswell, let's not forget about him, as he needs Tommy John surgery and will go on the 60-day IL. So again, if you pay attention enough in spring, you can understand that these are the guys. I think one of the not overlooked players that made the roster, but a player that going into spring, I know I had my doubts that the Rockies would give him that opportunity, and that was Hunter Goodman. When you brought in a veteran like an Austin Nola, you really begin to think, are the Rockies going to have the patience that we've seen them not have time and time again? They've got two young catchers. Why not choose an old catcher? Why not choose neither of those two young catchers that can, you know, one can play great defense in Drew Romo, one has got some pop in his bat in Hunter Goodman. How about neither of them? Well, they did choose one in Hunter Goodman. So I think that's the one kid that everybody is allowed to have on this roster to root for.
Yeah, and it's so exciting to see Hunter Goodman make the opening day roster. He has been through probably the most ups and downs of any young Rockies prospect that was spending time in the big leagues, because for a long time, you already outlined it, Michael Tolia simply struggled at the big league level. And then last year, he blossomed. And so Goody, when he's hot and he's timing up that big leg kick, that Carlos Gonzalez-esque timing mechanism, he can hit the ball 500 feet. And today he clocked one out of the ball yard, which was awesome to see. And then, I mean, Blake Street Banter has been longstanding Hunter Goodman supporters. He was my first player interview. So that was a big win to see Hunter Goodman make the opening day roster. And I'm glad you brought him up because I had kind of overlooked that. And I think a lot of Rockies fans overlooked the fact that he made the roster when his spot was very much not set when they broke camp earlier in the spring.
Yeah, it's true. He seemed to have kind of earned that spot early on, but until that point, it was like, well, he could also dip a little bit and lose, you know, that spot as the number two catcher. Because you saw Jordan Beck, you know, he was the favorite. Then he played poorly, and in a way, it didn't matter. And finally, he did start to heat up at the end. So I think that is that's another thing that's frustrating for a lot of Rockies fans is that what happens in spring training sometimes doesn't really matter at all. And I think we understand that it should be taken with a grain of salt, but it should have some value. And to see it, you know, not having any value whatsoever for some players, lesser established than others, it just strikes as a somewhat of a double standard to not, you know, give some of those opportunities to other players. Are you thinking that when we get down to it on Friday, March 28th, the Rockies opening day? I mean, opening day is the 27th, but the Rockies, again, it's one of those things. It's not their fault, but that feels very Rockies, you know, it feels very Rocky to not actually have a game on opening day. You got to wait until Friday. But in the ninth inning, are you thinking it's going to be Seth Halvorsen or is Tyler Kinley going to be that guy? And who do you want to see get the ball in the ninth inning in a safe situation?
That's a great question. I think it'll be Seth Halvorsen. Today, I watched him get some big-time outs after giving up a leadoff dribbler single. He was ahead 0-2, and the guy was – he laid down a swinging bunt. Interestingly enough, he got the first two outs of the inning, and then Bud Black went and gave Vodnik the ball for the final out, which he didn't get. He gave up two runs. I guess one of them got charged to Halvorsen because of the runner reaching on that bloop bunt. But I think it'll be Seth Halvorsen. That's who I want it to be. The Rockies can get momentum in the closer role and carry the team through June. I think getting off to a quick start with this roster is really, 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 really critical. Opening day, it doesn't get any worse than opening day last year. Let's be frank, okay? That was the worst possible way to start a season with a roster of young, unproven guys. Largely. And I mean, Kyle Freeland talked about it last year. An outing like that, you look up at the scoreboard every time you go out and your ERA says 80 and you pitch five innings without giving up a run and it'll come down to about 40. So getting off to a quick start and allowing Seth Halvorsen to develop momentum, because I think it matters more to him than it does for a veteran like Kinley, is the route I want the Rockies to go. What does Patrick Lyons want them to do?
Well, I'm curious how important a good start is, a strong start is. Yes, it's obviously important, but how important should it be to a rebuilding team like the Rockies? Because I think you hit the nail on the head that last year's opening day loss, 17-1. I stopped keeping track after a while, but I think it was 17-1. Really spiraled the start of their season in a major way. And I think for a team and a sport in which the professionals say, you know, you got to shower well, you got to wash it, you got to flush it and forget about it. I don't think the Rockies have forgotten about that. And I think they are really worried about that. I think that's why they're carrying one extra relief pitcher and why Chase Dolander was not given the number five spot in the rotation because, well, we could use that number five starter for those first three, four games of the year because we might need an extra arm to go along. We had to use it last year. So I think that, you know, starting quick is probably valued far more importantly by the Rockies than it should be in this instance.
That's fair. And I mean, I'm going to go on the other side of that and say that it's uber important because in the Rockies' best years historically, they've dominated April. James and I harped on this a lot last year, and then opening day happened, and it was what it was. But for the Rockies to be able to overcome the June swoon that seems to always hit, and then the one that gets even worse in August normally. They have to start hot, and I'm not saying that this team's going to go to the postseason, and to make the postseason they have to start hot, but to give themselves a prolonged belief and say, I mean, last year, good to middle teams talk about playing meaningful games in September. The Rockies basically were playing meaningless games in August. So it's all about what point can you get to that these games matter, and you show up to the ball. I mean, there were some losses last year where I found myself saying, gosh, the Rockies just gave up 5 runs in the 9th inning for the second time in 4 nights. How are they going to show up tomorrow? And they did. All right, they're professionals. This is their job. But psychologically, and it's why I think it is so important, the Rockies have to start quick, whether it's on the individual level, not starting the season 0-10, but just getting in the win column in front of a less than normal crowd on an opening day is huge.
Yeah, I think that's probably a conversation for another day, the idea of playing meaningful games in September and just putting your best and brightest on the field. And you could probably do both of those things, but if you're merely focused on just trying to win as many games as you can in April, in a season in which we know that 100 losses could be on the books again, and maybe in a best case scenario, something in the high 80s, the Rockies are not going to be contending. So worrying about September now, when you need to be worrying about, frankly, September of 2027, I think that's that is being myopic and worrying a little bit too much about what's in front of your face right now and not what's coming in the future. Because if they had done a better job of that in 2021, we might not be here in 2025 looking at a 7th consecutive losing season. But one of the ways in which they can avoid that is for some strong seasons. And I don't know about you, if we're going to predict any really strong seasons here, but let's kind of do a little head-to-head matchup, in a sense, if you will. If I were to say to you, who is going to lead the Colorado Rockies in home runs? I'll be honest, I haven't thought about all of these things that we're going to go back and forth on. So you're going to be getting an honest answer that we'll see if I have to go back and do a little course correction. But most home runs on the 2025 Rockies, who do you think is going to finish with the most?
First name that popped to mind is Michael Tolia. And how can you not pick Big Mike? Or are we retiring that nickname? We could do a whole show on that. But I think Tolia is primed to continue doing what he's doing. All the fantasy baseball sites have said, hey, take a late flyer on Michael Tolia. And look, pitchers are going to know about Tolia's power and the rest of the names surrounding him in the Rockies lineup. So it might be a little bit tougher. He might walk even more than he has in the past. But I like results, and I'm going to ride the results from last year into this year. I'm going with Tolia.
I think I'm going to agree with you on that with Michael Tolia. Now, Brendan Doyle, if it wasn't for, you know, some nagging injuries late in September, he might have been able to finish with the team lead. Instead, it was actually Ezekiel Tovar. And, you know, his power can still continue. I could see Tovar reaching 30 home runs this year and become only the second Rocky to do it in the last 6 years since CJ Cron. But who, you know, has that potential for 35-40, it's going to be Michael Tolia. And we know he's going to get that playing time to be able to figure that out. So, you know, I guess if you were trying to, you know, cover your bets from all sides, you could go with maybe a safer pick in Tovar or Doyle. But I think I'm going to agree with you. I think it is going to be Michael Tolia. Sleeper, I mean, for somebody else to kind of come out of nowhere, it would mean that Doyle, Tovar, and Tolia aren't really able to get, you know, much deeper into the 20s. Maybe they're in the low 20s, but we've already mentioned him once. I mean, Hunter Goodman, I could see him becoming, I think he would only be the third catcher in Rockies history to ever have 20 home runs. I could see him doing that. Even if he only gets, you know, 110 games, just putting the ball out there. Like, I could see him reaching the low 20s and maybe fighting for the home run leader spot. Should, you know, Doyle, Tovar, and Tolia kind of maybe take a step back?
That's a great one. I think it all comes down to how much Bud Black puts him out there, which of course comes back to how he plays. And so it will be interesting to see how much pressure he puts on himself early in the year, because let's face it, it's going to be a little bit unnatural for him playing to start a season in the big leagues. But I do like that pull. That's a deep pull. And I think for our next one that we have on here, talking about the stolen base leader for the team, before we debate that, I have a question for you, because I've seen it and Rockies fans have seen it all over Twitter throughout since the decision to not have Zach Veen on the opening day roster. If it's contract manipulation, how early can the Rockies see Zach Veen? Can the Rockies fans see Zach Veen playing at Coors Field if the Rockies are simply doing this to maintain his rookie status?
If you keep a player down for about the first 3-4 weeks of the season, then of course he's a rookie whether he's on the opening day roster or he gets called up in late April. But by calling him up in late April or even early May, like the Pirates did with Paul Skeens, that kind of service time manipulation gets you a seventh year. So while Zach Veen would not have a full year this season, most people would go, hey, 5 months in the majors is his season, right? Okay, but it's not one full season according to the collective bargaining agreement. So it would give you a seventh year. That being said, should Zach Veen continue where he left off and win National League Rookie of the Year award, he would get a full year of service time, and all of that service time manipulation would be for naught. And you, in fact, had started him on the opening day roster and he won the award, you would have actually received a draft pick, a compensation draft pick after the first round. So, you know, I'll say this about service time manipulation. I think it's something that's, I don't know that it's totally dead, but I don't think there's a lot of teams that operate with that in mind because of the, you know, incentives now for top 100 prospects to be added to the opening day roster. And we've just seen it around baseball. Look at Brendan Rodgers, a guy who was a top prospect. He didn't even reach free agency in the natural sense. He was non-tendered because he just simply wasn't worth it getting to his third and final year of arbitration. Sure, some of it had to do with you're saying, well, was he really worth $5.5 million? According to arbitration and according to the system that we've had in place in the past, that makes sense. But now with so many guys getting non-tendered, there's so many other cheaper options to have at second base. So who's to say that in 6 years' time, Zach Veen isn't non-tendered? And you go, wait a minute, I thought we were trying to manipulate his service time to get him for a seventh year. Now we don't even want him for the seventh year. So there's nothing guaranteed. So a lot of teams don't even operate with service time manipulation because it's very fruitless. That being said, I don't know if the Rockies know that. I don't know if the Rockies aren't aware that service time manipulation really is not a strategy that has much benefit anymore in 2025. I don't know.
Well, and thank you for that explanation, because I have seen arguments for and against it online. And in that sense, yeah, I'm just a Rockies fan finding answers why the Rockies did what they did. The reason I ask is because leading into our next question, talking about who can lead the club in stolen bases this year. I mean, you mentioned if the Rockies can bring Zach Veen up in about 30 days, does that allow him enough time to catch Branton Doyle in stolen bases? I don't want to just give the easy answer and go with Doyle on the stolen bases. So I'm going to say Zach Veen's going to lead the club in stolen bases.
Okay, then I'll take the easy victory and say Branton Doyle. So the other piece to this component is, right, like you want the known versus the unknown. I think a lot of times when I'm making friendly wagers, in fact, going back to the home run conversation, do you know how many players have hit 20 or more home runs 4 of the last 5 years? And I say 4 of the last 5 because in 2020, no one hit 20 home runs because there was only 60 games. So 2019 up until 2024, in all of baseball, how many players hit 20 home runs for all 4 of those full 162 game seasons? Take a guess.
I know McMahon did for the Rockies because he's Mr. Consistent. Outside of that, I couldn't even ballpark it.
That's an even better answer, because that's where I was leading to. 17 players did it, and Ryan McMahon was one of those guys. So if we're talking about consistency or like playing the chalk, you know you're going to get 20 home runs out of Ryan McMahon. You're going to get that kind of playing time, and you also feel pretty good that he's not going to get traded too. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But I'm taking Branton Doyle. He's the known quantity. You don't know when Zach Veen's going to come up. You also don't know how many green lights he's going to get. And Zach Veen, like a lot of players in the Rockies organization, for better or worse, they like to assemble good soldiers that listen and follow the instructions and follow the signs. And so if it's not a good count to steal on, or the Rockies are down by 3 runs, hey, this isn't really a great opportunity to steal. So you look and say, this guy's in the 98th percentile. Why is he 2-for-2 in stolen bases after 100 games in the majors? No green light and no, I'm not going to say ability or a lack of freedom, a sense of freedom to be able to go, I know I'm not getting a green light, but I'm just going to take one on this guy. You want wild horses like that. And you can't help but think that the demotion of Zach Veen down to the minors isn't trying to break that wild horse just a little bit to play the Rockies way, whatever that means.
That's a fantastic point. And you're probably right in the underlying mentality between what drives the Rockies roster decisions. And as you were speaking about a rookie potentially stealing bases, it made me think back to when Trevor Story broke his thumb ligament in, I believe it was either his rookie season or his second year. It was against the Met because I was there. That's when I was still living in New York. And so I was able to witness that. And that blew. So I don't want that to happen to Zach Veen or any Rocky, but if it's the parallel of a rookie injuring his thumb while stealing a base, then just keep Zach Veen off the base paths. But I figured I had to go with a wild card after taking the layup in round one.
I do like that. No, I like that. Well, this next one, I mean, who's going to lead the team in ERA? And we're only talking about starting pitchers. And I set the minimum at 20 starts, but even still, they're with the state of injuries and the state of starting pitching, it could be more like 18. This one is kind of fluctuating. So maybe even 18 minimum of starts of at least the five guys right now that you know are ticketed for the starting rotation. We'll keep Bradley Blaylock out of this because we really don't know how many starts he's going to get. We don't know what Chase Dolander is going to get. Might only end up being 15 each for those kind of for those guys. But of the main five that we're thinking of, including Austin Gomber, who of those do you think is going to end up leading the team in earned run average?
Yeah, I know Senzatella has just broke a Rockies record for lowest spring training ERA. So Shout out to all of you guys that keep track of that at home. Big moment. But I think I'm going to go with probably not the guy that you're thinking. I'm going with Ryan Feltner. Ooh. I picked Ryan Feltner last season to be the Rockies Cy Young Award winner. And spoiler, in the Blake Street Banter predictions for this year that come out on opening day, I'm going with Feltner again. I think that last year in the first half of the season, he was solid, up and down for sure. Didn't win a home start until August, maybe July. But in the last 3 months of the year, and in September, he was fantastic. Feltner really started to lock in, get the ball in the zone, not nibble as much. And that's what Bud Black wants him to do. And he has the repertoire to have success. And I think so much can give before Ryan Feltner has a breakout season. And I'm going to pick, because I didn't get it right last year, I'm doubling down and going with Feltner this year.
I do like that. And I guess by Cy Young, you were looking more at wins above replacement versus ERA, because Feltner did lead the rotation with a 4.49 ERA, got under 4.5. But Gomber, not too far off that, and wins above replacement was worth more. This one's hard because I think you can make the case for almost all of them. I think Senzatella might be, you know, fifth in the running, but as you pointed out, you know, a good spring for him. Herman Marquez, you know, is he going to be able to hold up? Any season in which he's healthy, you got to like him going number one, but we don't know what his health status is going to be like. I'm going to take Kyle Freeland. I think Kyle Freeland ends up having the best season. You know, if you look at what he was able to do going into his last start against St. Louis, where he got knocked around a little bit, you know, he had a sub-3.5 ERA coming back from the 60 DIL when we thought he might be done for, you know, the collision at home plate, and then maybe it's Tommy John that he needs. It's a shoulder issue. Like there were definite, you know, worries about him, and he was able to show, you know, that veteran ability to get outs because he's not a big swing and miss kind of guy. And so I think he's aging like a lot of left-handers, you know, age. Like he just aging well in that way. And you see Austin Gomber doing that too. We'll see what happens with the shoulder soreness, what's going to end up happening with that. So I think he could end up going back to back in that way. But I'll take Kyle Freeland in the ERA leader category. What about saves? What have you got on saves? So you already think Halverson's going to start the year as closer. Even if he doesn't, even if Kinley starts the year as closer, Would you still probably take Seth Halvorsen as the guy who's going to lead the team in saves?
I would. And I think I don't want to pick Halvorsen to be the opening day closer and then go with someone else for the rest of the year because it sets kind of this bad omen that I don't want to set. The Rockies, in their successful years, I mean, Greg Holland and Wade Davis both put up near 40 or over 40 saves in those two top years in 17 and 18. Having a closer, and it feels like I say this every episode, is the greatest single element that a manager can lean on for a team. And with Halvorsen's stuff, I don't know how you put anyone else out there until he's either hurting or it's gotten so bad where it's three in a row that he's blown and it's clear that adjustments need to be made. But Halvorsen is young. He's powerful. He's what the Rockies need to lay this foundation. In a bullpen full of promising guys, Halvorsen can be the one at the back end shutting games down.
I'm also going to take Halvorsen. However, I'm going to double down and ask you, will he get 20 saves this year? I don't know if you realize that I only did in the offseason. For the first time in franchise history, the Rockies had back-to-back seasons in which no one saved 20 games, or is it no one saved 15 or more games? I think it might have even been 15 or more. This was the first time. So, look, when you lose 100 games, you're not giving your closer that many. So, for me, I'd probably actually take the under on 20 saves. Even if Halvorsen is going wire to wire as the closer, how many opportunities is he going to get, right?
I'll take the under on that as well, because you start to math out if they win between 60 and 70 games, which would be an upgrade from last season, then it would one out of every three. I don't know. It seems like it's pushing it.
All right. On the count of three, we're going to name I only have them as having one all-star this year. Are you confident they're going to have more than one?
Oh, not confident.
Okay. So you've got one in mind. On three, let's say who the 2025 all-star for the Rockies is going to be. Ready? One, two, three.
Brendan Doyle.
Okay. All right. Next question. We're done with that one. We can go to the next topic. All right. Team MVP.
I think it's too, and I'll reason for a little bit. I think it's too hard for a shortstop to win an all-star right now in the state of the league, because if Ellie De La Cruz does anything of note, the fans are going to vote
him. Easy. Yeah.
The bias there is so strong, and there's just plenty of other great shortstops in the National League. Last year, it was last season that the outfield was like historically weak in the first half. And so I thought that was, and Brendan Doyle was barreling towards the finish line of the first half. He was making his, it was July that he won player of the month. So he was turning it on just a couple weeks too late, but I think this is his year.
No, that's a great point too. Francisco Lindor, the guy who runner up in MVP, wasn't even an all-star. Like Pete Alonso got in because he was in the home run derby. I think that kind of created room for McMahon. But yeah, you've got Lindor there too. Potentially even, you know, Mookie Betts is a shortstop there in the National League. Joey Ortiz is a guy on the come up. Dansby Swanson, we know, is always a threat. So yeah, there's a lot more depth for the outfielders. Ryan, he's got a hot take jumping in the chat. Welcome, Ryan. Hot take, a nuclear month earlier on helps Tolia be the lone Rockies all-star.
I like it.
Is first base as deep as shortstop? I don't think so. I think this generation of first basemen, I'm not going to say is light, but there's just, I don't know. In the 90s and 2000s, you were a lumbering first baseman and you were a lock for 45 home runs, 125, 130 RBI. That's just not baseball anymore, and that's fine, but there's not as many, right? So in the NL, who do you got? Pete Alonso? That's it. No, Bryce Harper for right now. Rhys Hoskins, I'm not going to put on that list. Freddie Freeman. So those are three pretty big guys. Mm-hmm. But after that, I mean, Josh Naylor is a nice sleeper, and Matt Olson. So those are some names, but the Rockies have to have a representative. So it's really, again, I think it's going to be about that depth, and I think there could be a lot more room in the outfield. And if you're looking at a face of the Rockies, as much as Colorado kind of wants it to be Tovar because he's that young face, I mean, you ask baseball fans around the U.S., you know, who they like. You ask Bryce Harper who he likes, and he's going to say, Brent Doyle's nasty, bro.
Yeah.
He is. So it's like Brent Doyle is kind of the leader going into the clubhouse here, going in at the turn. So, I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for anybody else. But again, a really strong first 3 months of the season, that's all it takes. And if you do it, you're going to get that nod.
Yeah, it's just tough because, I mean, Freddie Freeman, I'm not even sure if you mentioned his name in the list of first basemen there, unless you did it first. Like, there's so many. But Tolia, he could win a player of the month any month because he has that potent ability, and that helps in these short-term kind of races.
It's true. Team MVP. Before we get to that, I'm going to ask you a question. Does a Rocky receive a vote for NL MVP from a voter that isn't in Denver? And I ask that because that has not happened since 2020 with Trevor Story, and it hasn't happened in a full 162-game season since 2019 with Arenado and Trevor Story. The two votes the one vote for Daniel Bard came from a Denver voter, and I believe the two last year from Ezekiel Tovar came from two Denver voters. So is this a year where someone gets a down ballot vote from some writer in Cincinnati?
If Daniel Bard got one from a Colorado guy, that maybe anyone can. But outside of Colorado, I'm going to say no. That it sounds like a tall order for the roster where it is now. But someone could surprise me, right?
Yeah, I would agree. And team MVP can be a difficult one for a team in the Rockies' position because there's the best player on the team, and then there's the guy that embodies that, again, that most valuable player for the clubhouse, for the organization. And so it kind of can be defined in different ways. Again, I probably would say Brenton Doyle, but I don't know that he's going to be head and shoulders above, you know, everyone else.
It's going to be a really interesting dynamic because every time I've seen Doyle, and when I talked to him, he said he's always kind of had this quiet demeanor about him and he lets his game do the talking. Charlie Blackman's no longer with the team in the locker room and clubhouse each day. So someone is naturally going to have to step up into a leader, almost father figure type role. I think Ryan McMahon naturally fits that. And at this stage, it's hard to imagine, as you mentioned with Doyle, hard to imagine Tovar stepping into that role. So I'll go with Ryan McMahon on this one. I think performance aside, at this point, we know what we're getting with McMahon. We talked about it. Mr. Consistent, would you say 17 players across baseball have hit 20 home runs or more in each of the past 4 years? Mm-hmm. I like Ryan McMahon to win this team award.
I like how you phrase that as the father of the team. He's the Mac Daddy. Well, Mac Daddy. Over under on trades at the trade deadline. Noah is wiping his brow. It's furrowed. It's furrowed and it's wiped. That's why you got to be over on the YouTube channel, on the Blake Street Banner YouTube channel. 1.5 trades is where I'm setting it at.
That's where I was going to set the line as well. I'll go over.
Take the over on that?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. they've made more than two trades the last 2 years.
Yeah, they're due for it.
There is that. I got a bad feeling it's going to be under. I'll be under on that one.
At least one, though, right? Or none.
This question is we'll see. Look, they don't listen to us in the press box, do they? Gold glove and or platinum glove. Who do you got winning gold gloves, and does anybody win a platinum glove?
Doyle does have more competition this year because Merrill is established and he's going to be a threat.
Jacob Young, too, was a name that he wasn't even a finalist, I don't think, last year. And Jacob Young, a lot of the metrics really like him in D.C. with the Nationals.
And doesn't Arizona have a really well-fielding center fielder now? I've seen highlights. So if he
Alec Thomas was, you know, a decent defender. I mean, he's kind of up and down. You think of Jake McCarthy.
Maybe it was
Colin McCarthy. Garcia is with the Blue Jays now.
Yeah. Okay. I like Doyle to have the best chance at a gold glove. Shoot, maybe even Tovar because of the amount of opportunities naturally that the Rockies middle infielders get. They're going to lead the league in double plays again. it always happens because they have the most opportunities. But the voters know that too. But I'll go with Doyle.
Yeah, I'll probably say it'll just be Brenton Doyle. But October's going to be close. We'll see McMahon probably be a finalist. One of my big predictions for – not that it was a big prediction. It was just point blank at justbaseball.com. Season preview coming out soon. Who's going to win the Platinum Glove Award in the National League? My pick, Brenton Doyle.
Ooh.
We'll see.
So you really like Doyle this to win Gold Glove. And I mean, you can't win Platinum without winning Gold. So
I'm a Doyle dude. Is that what you're saying? I'm a Doyle dude. I mean, I guess I am.
Rockies Insider is a Doyle dude. I love it. That'd be huge for the franchise too. And one guy that the broadcast would want us to mention here, totally at first base, his metrics got smoked because of his outfield playing time last year. Hard to imagine he plays any outfield this year. And so, all we ever hear about is how well he plays with the glove, even at his size. And so just put that in your memory bank as you watch him at first base.
No, that's a great addition. You're right. He definitely has that ability there. We'll see what happens with a Jordan Beck. Maybe he's able to have a Nolan Jones type, you know, build to his defense, but you're right. Totally deserves to be in that conversation as a potential Gold Glove finalist over at first base. All right, let's get nuts for the predictions. How many games played for Chris Bryant? Go.
He hasn't cleared 80 yet in a Rockies uniform, but this year he does with 82.
Under. How many concerts are added for Coors Field this summer? Right now we're at zero.
Oh, two.
I'll take the over.
Yeah.
100 losses?
No.
I am so on the fence. It's going to be really close.
The line is 59 and a half right now.
For wins. So that would be...
Oh, yeah.
So three. Yeah. I push comes to shove, I'd have to say yes. I think it does happen. Does anybody lose their job this season, Noah? Manager, coaching staff, or other front office?
No, because I think they all know it's kind of that Jordan last dance.
What would we... Last dance. What's the version for the Rockies? Last Hey Baby. They dance to the 17th stretch. Do we see at least one bench clearing brawl this year? Parentheses, at least one punch has to be thrown. We haven't seen one since 2018, the Luis Perdomo, Nolan Arenado showdown. That's the last time we've had a brawl. Do we see one this year? Finally, Noah.
I think you have to be competitive to throw punches in fights, right? So I'm going to say I don't believe that we'll see punches thrown, but anytime Bryce Harper's at Coors Field, there's potential for that benches to empty. So why not?
Take the over on Harper ejections. We'll see some bench clearing incidents. We know that, but we need to be full on brawl. All right, face off. Who's going to have more starts this year, Jacob Stallings or every other catcher combined? And he's wiping his brow again, folks. Yeah. You need to make sure that you're watching the video portion of this podcast too.
Yeah, our facial reactions are just as good as our speaking on this show. And I think because it's every other one combined, I'm going to go with everyone else. But, oh my gosh, it's sad that I'm even having to debate this in my
head. If Stallings gets to 81, that's a win for Stallings because you have to have one more than.
Yeah, I don't think he will. What are you going with?
I don't know.
It's so hard.
I think he will. I think he will. Again, this is what I think will happen, not what I want to happen.
Yeah.
No one asks me what I want to happen, which makes my job a lot easier trying to stay unbiased. I don't know what this question means, and I wrote it. Okay. All right. More starts. Oh, that's the category. More starts. Who has more starts? The trio of Nick Martini, Sam Hilliard, and Sean Bouchard, or every other outfielder not named Brenton Doyle and Jordan Beck.
That trio is going to take this one, and I don't think it'll be close.
Yeah, I kind of want to say every other outfielder, but you're right. Odds are one of those guys is going to stick around for about 100 games, right?
That leaves
a lot less playing time for anybody else.
I'm trying to find out how many games started did Sam Hilliard have, because he appeared in 58 games.
He was probably something like 30, if I had to guess, somewhere around there. Yeah, you're right. I think having all three of those guys, like, I think there's a chance that all three of them, you know, don't stay on the roster for the entirety of the season. That being said, you know, one of those guys essentially has to be playing every single day, at least in the outfield. So, all right, that one was not a great one. But I ultimately think that, you know, there will be a lot of opportunities for some other outfielders to get a chance. And not so much Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant and Zach Veen are on the same team in that scenario because they are not Martini, Bouchard, and the other one, Sam Hilliard. All right, last but not least, Chase Dolander or every starting pitcher not in the rotation right now, who gets more starts?
I believe it's every other pitcher not in the rotation. But
so you're going to get a Blaylock bump, right? Because you know he's probably going to make 12 to 15.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's no Jose Urania this year, so that's good. But I think the fans, and if again, if it was what we want to happen, Dolander would be listed right now, but it's not. So what do I think is going to happen? Everyone else not in the rotation is going to clear Mr. Dolander.
Have you got a debut date in mind when he's finally going to make his debut in purple pinstripes?
You'd think that they want to have it at home, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they can schedule those kind of things. That's fine. That's there's some people like smashing their computer being like, when he's ready, like get him. Like, yeah, right. But you know, sometimes you can kind of manipulate or like just wait two extra days and you can start at home. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm wondering in May on a weekend they play the Padres or the Yankees. So I don't know if they'd want to throw him out there against either one of them.
Padres are okay. So, Yankees maybe not.
Well, so good. Padres.
What, May 10th? Saturday, May 10th?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at that weekend.
5-10-25, the debut. What number is he going to wear? Is he going to wear number 30? He wore that in the spring breakout game last year.
I don't think so. I never pegged him as a 30 number guy.
Do you think he's going to keep 78?
No. I don't know how many are available on the Rockies in the teens and 20s, but that's what I always pictured him.
Over under the number 78, and I'm going to take under. What do you
think? Yeah, under.
Yeah. Any other questions that jump out to you that you're like, you know what? We gotta pin this Patrick Lyons guy down because I need to get him on record so I could dunk all over his dumb prediction. Come on,
well, do something. If you had one hot take for the season, just the Rockies, a hot take, you could go anywhere with this. Last year, Aaron nailed Brenton Doyle becoming a 2020 player.
He did.
This year, someone predicted Hunter Goodman to hit 35 home runs, and that'll again be released on opening day. So you can
hit 35 on opening day? What?
No. For the year, but the article comes out on opening day on BlakeStreetBanter.com. Plug. But any bold prediction?
No. I don't. I wrote down some things, and it's coming out in the Rockies newsletter. You know, five things to be excited about, you know, this season. You know, Chase Dolander certainly is one of those things. You know, could he go out and have a John Gray-like performance and strike out 16? Now that I say that, yeah, I think Chase Dolander is going to have a 15 strikeout performance this year. I like that one. That to me doesn't feel like a hot take. That just seems like a reasonable prediction of something that can happen.
Can you imagine if he did it Steven Strasburg style debut in front of an electric ballpark? Franchise savior leads the Rockies to a World Series in the near future.
Could be good.
The script has been written.
I like that. I mean, look, that's 15 Ks for Dolander. Not bad. In the chat, more home runs this season, Chris Bryant or Nolan Jones. Do you mean for the Rockies? If so, it's kind of easy. Not all the way easy, but pretty easy.
In general,
though, Nolan Jones for the Guardians or Chris Bryant?
I think it's going to be Nolan Jones.
I think so, too. We don't know how his back is, how he's going to be able to rebound. The medicals were fine, right? Like the Guardians looked at those. So it's not like they're like, oh yeah, he's missing the C4 vertebrae. Like, no, all right. His back's not, you know, maybe not in the best shape, but guys play through those kind of things and are fine. And I think they're going to set him up for success too. Cause from what I hear, he's just going to be like the left-handed hitting platoon partner for Big Christmas for the young Kenzie Noel. So Noel is going to be in there against the lefties, and Jones is going to be in there versus righties. So great. You're just cherry picking his performances to crush it. So I think Jones is going to go out and have 20 home runs this year for the Guards.
And I think it'll be fun to see how the Rockies fans root for him and the Guardians, because years ago when the two collaborated for All-Star game voting, it was a hashtag and program called Cleveland Rocks. So was this written in the stars? Cleveland gave Nolan Jones to the Rockies, almost lending him, seeing how he develops in the big leagues. Then they took him right back. So maybe it's all been part of their plan.
And we'll see what happens when Juan Brito debuts, a player originally dealt for Nolan Jones. So yeah, Will Brennan actually got sent down because of the Nolan Jones trade. So he didn't make the opening day roster. His connection to Colorado is that he was born in Colorado Springs. Wasn't raised in Colorado Springs. He was raised in Kansas. But he's got that Colorado connective tissue that, hey, if you need an American League team to root for, yeah, you're right. I think there's going to be more people on the Cleveland Guardians bandwagon. And there should be more people on the Noah Spyrick bandwagon. I mean, I'm on it. But let other people know where they could get on social media that Spyrick bandwagon, because it's a good one. It's filling up quick. But there is room for you out there. Listen carefully to how you can jump on it.
Yeah, limited space available. So Instagram and Twitter, at Noah Spyrick. I've gotten pretty good at this point the past couple
of months. No, you haven't. You've missed it every time. It's on the wrong side. Hold on. Let me – yeah, no, you're just wrong. Like, it's easy. Like, I'm doing it.
It's right
nope,
here.
That's a blank spot. You can't –
wait, for you?
It. Yeah, there it is.
I have it different on my screen.
Well, it's not on mine. It's the right –
yeah, no, it's the more you know. I promise.
So on mine, it's on the bottom left, and I need to use my right finger to point at the bottom left. So use your right finger to point at the bottom left.
I'm doing it right now.
That's not your right finger.
No, this is my left hand. But
exactly.
I'm on my name.
You're not, though.
I got to take a picture of this. I got
the CR in the background is normal, so I know what your right hand is.
Oh, I'm taking a picture. We're going to send it to you post-production.
There's no way you think you're pointing at your name when you do that. This is my right hand. And when you point with your right hand, so are you telling me that right now I'm not pointing at my name?
No, you are. You are.
How could I be using my right hand and pointing at my name and you're using your left hand and pointing at your name? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh my gosh. You're not going to believe the picture I sent
you. There's no way. I'm not going to believe it.
Oh,
what? Technology.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, don't get
leaving all of this in the podcast version. Leaving all of it in. It's great. People are going to go, wow, I really got to find out where this name is located in the screen. I got to go. I mean, this is definitely clearing 1,000 views over on the Blake Street Banner channel on YouTube. You know, but if you are of the type of thinking that your left finger points at your name, here's my left finger pointing at nothing. Follow me. Just slide in my DMs and tell me I'm an idiot. I don't know how to use StreamYard at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. Rockies Insider at Blake ST Banter. Big series coming up. I don't know if Aaron has announced it or not, but I mean, Friday, it's going. And it's going to be a big one that you've got to make sure you're following them on the social medias, going over to the website, because it's going to be big. It's going to be a big season. Maybe not in the win-loss column, but it's big for a different reason. You'll find out all about it later on this week. Thanks for everyone in the chat joining, giving us this momentum. But as I like to say, momentum can only be as good as your next visit to Las Vegas. So I'll see you there.